we're still over here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. It says in verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn child should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that had believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, of Samson and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Now, of course, you know, keeping with our understanding that the purpose of the writing of the book of Hebrews is to exhort the Hebrew believers not to turn back. And all of these examples that is being set forth here in this chapter about faith are the Old Testament saints. And the contrast that Paul is making here in his writing to these Jews is that if these who hadn't received the promises, these who just merely looked forward, not having seen the unfolding of the gospel of Christ, if these all in faith declared that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth, and they pressed on in spite of all these afflictions and different problems and things that are set forth before us, he said, they understood that without us, that without us they should not be made perfect. In other words, they understood that they were not those who were appointed to receive the blessing. So he says, in essence, how much more so that we who have received the promises, how can we turn back? If they who didn't know the promise, they didn't know who Christ was. They didn't know that Christ was going to hang on Calvary's cross and die for their sins and be buried and rise again from the dead. They didn't know that. But they knew this, that God was a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, and they knew that His provision would be made for them. And they believed God. They believed that those things which He said would come to pass. And so they were not any less men of faith than we, but we who, having received the promise, ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we come and see what Christ has done and then turn back. I mean, that's in essence what this whole chapter is written about. Now, I know that usually this is called by many the Hall of Fame of Faith. Well, God doesn't have a Hall of Fame because there's only one famous person who inhabits the kingdom of God. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one worthy of all fame. I mean, there's no famous people. What did Abraham do? He didn't do anything. Now, we know in the flesh that the Lord enabled Abraham to do the things that he did. I mean, why did Abraham offer up Isaac, his only begotten son? Because it was the purpose of God to cause him to do it. Because in the flesh, in himself, I mean, any one of us, like men of like passions, that's not a normal thing for a man to do, is it? And so a man is not to be patted on the back because he did something that was of faith, but God is to get glory in it. And this is what I believe is being set forth here, because the whole issue is that the Lord has dealt with His people the same in all ages. Now, He hasn't given all men in all ages the same understanding. He hasn't given them all the same clarity of vision. But He has always loved His people from the very beginning. And He hasn't begun to love some more than others, nor has He faltered in His dealings with His people, but He's brought them all by the way which He designed and desired them to come. Now, Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees for a purpose. And it was of benefit to Abraham, but there was a greater purpose in God's calling Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees than simply to bless Abraham. Just like there is, we are blessed as the sons of God in having received the mercy of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. But there is a greater purpose that God has in the things that He's done than that. Now, if you listen to what most preaching today centers on, it centers on men and what God has done for men. And that is a true thing. God has done some things for men, but never lose sight of this, that everything that God has done, He's done for His glory. That's what He told Moses. He said, look, He says, I'll do what I'm going to do. He said, it's unto My glory. He says, why did I raise up Pharaoh? He said, unto My glory. Why did He raise up Abraham? Unto His glory. That in the ages to come, that He might be praised. For you see, He told the Israelites, He says, I'm a jealous God. Now, jealousy and desiring glory, that is a bad trait for a man to have, is it not? But you see, it's not a bad thing when God says, I'm jealous. It's not a bad thing when He says, I'm seeking My own glory. Why? Because He's worthy of glory. You see, He's worthy of glory. But there's none of us worthy of glory because anything that we have has been given to us by the grace of God. So we have no place to glory. And Abraham didn't have any place to glory either, but he gave glory to God. And so it says here, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now by faith, that faith that God wrought in Abraham, he offered up his only begotten son, knowing that his son was the one through whom all of his heirs would come. And yet Abraham believed God. He went forward with that, even knowing that, well, God's commanding me to do something that's going to put an end to what God said he was going to do. But you see, he believed God by the grace of God, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And so Isaac was as one raised from the dead, was he not? And does that not prefigure Christ? Now we know that Christ, he was that one who was provided as that sacrifice. Now Abraham, insofar as he knew, was going to offer up Isaac. He didn't know what God was going to do. You know, it's easy to look at something after it's happened and say, well, we knew what we should have done. I mean, everybody knows how to win the football game the next day. You know, but it's not about that. And Abraham, you know, looking back, he knew, he probably understood and saw a lot of things. But at the time, you see, he didn't know. But the Lord moved in him and caused these things to come to pass. And he was accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He didn't know how God was going to do it. But he received him in a figure as one from the dead, even as we see Christ raised from the dead. Now, did his when the Lord told his disciples he was going to be crucified and raised again, he told them, I'm going to be raised from the dead. They're going to destroy this temple in 3 days. I'm going to raise it up. Did his disciples believe it? Of course they didn't believe it. How could they believe it? I mean, people don't rise from the dead. I mean, when he was in the ground, they figured that was it. That's why it was such an amazing thing to them when they ran to the tomb. If they'd have believed it, they would have been counting down the days, would they not? And said, well, this is the third day. He's going to rise today. And they'd have been down there to try to see him when he came out. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it, but yet God, who's rich in mercy, he brought it to pass, and they received him as one raised from the dead, because he was, even as Abraham received this in a figure. He didn't see it. He didn't know it. See, he didn't know about what Christ was going to do, but he did indeed know what God would do. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. I mean, he knew that he was dying, but he knew that his sons were going to live on. And so they were blessed by him. And then by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph. And you remember how he did that. Joseph brought them up there, and he had them placed like he was going to have it to be, because he wanted the oldest son to have the blessing, which would have been the right hand. But whenever the hands, Jacob put his hands out, he crossed his hands over. And he put his right hand on the other, and Joseph went to take his hand. Oh, no, wait, you're making a mistake. Do it the other way. He said, what I've done, he says, I've done. But you see, by faith, Jacob did that. Now, how did Jacob know that? How did he know? He couldn't have known that except the Lord caused it to come to pass. Even as it was whenever Isaac blessed Jacob, when he thought in his mind he was blessing Esau. And then when Esau came in later and found out that the Lord had blessed Jacob through Isaac, the scripture says he sought repentance. He sold it with tears. He said, wait, you got to change your mind. Now keep in mind, this is the same person. He had no regard to that birthright. He sold it to Jacob for a mess of pottage. But then when it came to pass, then he wanted it. And so it is, you see, men want the blessing of God when they see it, but it's only by faith that God gives to men that are able to see it beforehand. And so it was that by faith that Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Remember, he said, when y'all go out of Egypt, he said, don't leave me here. He said, I want you to take me with him. And the last words in the book of Genesis is, and they buried Joseph in a coffin in Egypt. But he gave commandments concerning his bones, and when they left, they dug him up. They took him with them because, you see, he believed he looked for a city. He wasn't wanting to stay in Egypt. That wasn't his home. He didn't want to be there. And he knew he wouldn't have the power to change anything about it, but he commanded his sons to take him out of there when the time came. So by faith, he died making mention of these things. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Now, what did Moses have to do with that? Nothing in the world. It says, by faith. Well, what was the faith? His mother saw him was a goodly child. She didn't want him to perish. Now, why was that? Because God caused her to love him. And she preserved him. And the Scripture says it's by faith. When he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And, of course, you know, as you go down through the Old Testament and you see time and time again those people who were, they defied the commandments of their superiors. Now, the Lord says that we're to be in submission to those who are over us and in authority. And that is a true thing. There's no question about that. But there are times when those things are in conflict. And one thing that we must be, if we're going to be those who would stand against the powers that be, we must be willing to suffer the consequences of what the powers that be. See, a lot of people, they want to go against the powers that be, but then they don't want to pay the piper when the time comes. But that's not the way that it is to be. And that's not the way they were. They hid the child, and if they figured, well, if Pharaoh or whoever comes down and kills us, he just kills us. But we're going to do the thing that's right. And so they hid him. And then it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, when he came to the place where he knew and understood who he was, he wanted to be identified with the children of Israel. Now, why did he do that? I mean, here's a guy that's got it made, doesn't he? I mean, he's got it made. I mean, he's right there in the lap of luxury, everything. I mean, all he's got to do is just go right along with the program and say, I never knew those people. Now, how much in contrast is that with Peter? What'd Peter do? He said, oh, I don't know him. But you see, Joseph, Moses, whenever he was there in the court of Pharaoh, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter when he found out who his mother and his father were, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How temporary are all of the things of this world and how much it is. Is it not the work of faith in men to cause them to see beyond this present world? Because isn't it just the natural way of men to kind of make excuses for the things that we do and say, well, you know, we'll just enjoy these pleasures of sin for a season because it's just convenient. Isn't it easy to not say something maybe that will offend somebody who nonetheless, because the burden of truth is laid upon us, we must speak it? And that is a true thing, especially in the society in which we live. Brethren, I can see the storm clouds building up. I mean, we've got to be the people that stand for the things that we say we believe in and not seek to appease people or make them not be. You can't make the gospel inoffensive. It is impossible for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ not to offend people. It's going to do it. Because it's so narrow. It's so Christ-centered. You see, men like their religion and they like the gospel as long as they can get men involved in it. And that men can get a pat on the back. You know, when men can be pointed out as being doing great things, that's fine. That suits men well. But you see, it's offensive when you tell men you ain't got a thing in the world to do with it. You can't bring yourself one step closer to God if He in His mercy and kindness does not bring you. You can't perform one good work except God, who's rich in mercy, stir your heart to do so. And so it is that He alone has the glory. And choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For He had recompense. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now what did we read here in verse 6? It says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Moses, the Scripture says, had a mind to the recompense of the reward. He knew that God was not somebody that played games, and that what He said He would do. And that's where he cast his confidence. And he didn't know what God was going to do. But he believed God would do that thing which was good and right insofar as his purpose was concerned in the earth. And he was desirous of being identified in that way. Even as I believe the sons of God are desirous of being identified with Christ. You know, what really matters to us in this world if we're not identified with Christ? I mean, what would it matter if we gained the whole world and lost that which was the most important thing? It wouldn't be of any value whatsoever. And so even as those who in times past with a very limited vision, I mean, think of what, as much as Moses knew, think how limited his vision of the promises of God were. I mean, his vision of the promises of God basically wrapped up in the law, pretty much. And that's why he was so angry when he saw the children of God disobeying those laws. But he was powerless to do anything about it, even as the law is powerless to deliver men from sin. Can't do it. But there is one who has delivered his people from sin, and that's the thing that we come today to remember as we take this bread and this wine, to remember the Lord's death till He comes again.